Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. As I said this morning, we are going to look at a fundamental of faith and about what we believe about the Word of God. We just want to go over three things. There's a lot more things that you can get in and study on this. But for tonight, it's just three items. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 119, verses 97 through 107. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 107. Now, we've gone through the entire Psalm 119, and we know that it's about the Word of God. And so, this is a familiar section here. In Psalm 119, verses 97 through 107, it says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers." Now I know a lot of school kids think that, but you're never going to be smarter than a teacher. Just put that down right now, okay? But if you know God's word, you'll be wise. "For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word." In this psalm, we see that David had a whole lot of respect for God's word. And he understood the power of God's word. He understood the purpose of God's word. And he wanted to follow God's word. In a way of introduction, what we need to do is we need to have a love for the Word of God. In verse 97 there, it says, "Oh, how I what? Love thy law." Now, can you really sit here and say, "I really love the Word of God"? Do we need to assess our love for God's Word and see if there that needs to be fixed? In verses 98 through 107, actually through 105, we see four benefits of the Word. The first one is, in verse 98, you get wisdom. You know, wisdom is not being smart. Wisdom is being able to apply knowledge. And wisdom is being able to look at a situation and get the proper perspective on it and come up with a solution. God's Word does that. God's Word does that, but we need to understand that. Then, in verses 99 through 100, you get understanding. You know, it's one thing to know something. It's another thing to know it. And you know, there's different levels of know. I know some facts, but the facts that I understand, I can apply to my life. A lot of people know what Satan knows the Bible, but he can't apply it to his people. We need to know the Bible so we can use the Bible to guide our life. We pray tonight for three to have life guidance. You get life guidance from the Word of God. So it gives us understanding into the mind of God, into what God really expects for us. Thirdly, in verses 101 through 104, we see that the Word of God brings holiness in your life. First of all, it brings faith. It brings saving faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the Word of God. You can't have a relationship of Jesus Christ unless you know the Word. Because He is the Word.
Amen.
And then from that point on, it's about changing to be more like Christ. He says in 101, he says, "I have refrained my feet from every evil way." You have to make the choice to follow God's Word. In 102, it says, "I have not departed from thy judgments." You have to make a choice to continue to follow God. These are all choices here. And then we need to esteem the words as being necessary for our life. It's just not something that we just do on Sunday morning. It's just not something that you just read when you want to. We need to meditate in this day and night. Then shall thy way be prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. So it brings holiness into the life of the believer. And then lastly, in verse 105, it provides guidance. Thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet. We talked about this. Now, if you're out in the middle of the forest, all you need is a light for one more step. And God gives us the light that we can take one more step. And then we can take another step. And we can take another step. And then we get to our destination. In verse 106, we see the need that we need to have a commitment to the Word. I need to have a commitment to it. He says, I have sworn and I will perform it. There's a lot of people that talk as cheap. There's a lot of people that will say one thing, but they don't mean it. And you know they don't mean it. You know they don't mean it. But the psalmist here is saying, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. This morning we said that we didn't have to make up rules. What we really need to do is need to follow God's word. That'll take care of everything. But we have to make a commitment to that. And then lastly, in the way of introduction, God's word gives life. He says, I'm afflicted very much, but quicken me, O Lord, according to what? Thy word. So this evening, I want to share three basic fundamental truths. This is in our statement of faith for our church. And it should be in your belief system as a Christian about the Word of God. The first one is that the Word of God is inerrant. Another word for that is infallible. Another word for that is without error. Another word for that is no mistakes. There's no mistakes. Because if you think that there's mistakes, then you don't know what you believe. And so the first thing is, why is the Word of God infallible or inerrant? Well, the first thing is because the source is infallible. The source is infallible. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? There's a lot of people that don't keep their word, but God always keeps his word.
Amen.
Because he's inerrant. He can't lie. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, Paul writes to the young Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This morning we quoted John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him, and without Him nothing was created. Everything exists. Okay? We need to understand in Psalm 119, verse 160, it says, Thy Word is true from the beginning of time. From the beginning of eternity. When there was God, there was the Word. And when there was God, there was truth. And when there was God, He said there'd be light. He says, Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Christ Himself said, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words will not pass away. So we know that the Word of God is inerrant because God is infallible. He does not lie. Secondly, the Word of God is inerrant because its knowledge is unchanging, it's invariable. I needed an I. Okay? I needed an I. So it's invariable, it's unchanging. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 21, it says, that I may make thee know the certainty. It doesn't change. Folks, there's not many things in this world that you can bank on, that you go to sleep on. I guarantee you there is one. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
And it says here, it says, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Why? That thou mayest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. I'm requesting prayer. Because my challenge teaching in school, the Bible curriculum in school, is to basically give them a biblical worldview. And let them look at the Word, at the life that we're living, and other people through the prism of God's Word, through the lens of God's Word. And this is what we have to do here. We need to know the truth. And I'm fearful that there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, that go to church, that don't know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, you can't apply it. You won't understand it. You won't have wisdom. You can't have holiness. You can't do the things that God wants us to do with it. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. We have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to mentor people and to assist people and to give advice. Folks, I'm challenging you right now. The advice you give someone else needs to be based on the Word of God.
Amen.
The worldview that you have needs to be based on the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says this. Knowing this first, that what? No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Folks, God's Word means what it says. Exactly. You don't have to sit there and kind of figure it out. You need to search the Scriptures. But as far as what it says, the Holy Spirit's going to say, that's true. Oh, you know what the Holy Spirit's supposed to do? He will guide us into what? All truth. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have the Holy Spirit living in your life. The Bible makes no sense. The Bible makes no sense. But the Word of God is inerrant because the source is infallible. Because its knowledge is unchanging or invariable. And then because its work is impeccable. Far exceeds anything that you could ever think. You know, anyone can apply God's Word and be successful. Because that's what God's Word says. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Christ is praying before he goes to the cross. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he prays, this is what truth is. Thy Word is truth. Folks, we can't live the Christian life unless we live it in accordance with God's Word. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you say you're a Christian and you're living God, and you say you're living God's Word, but you're violating God's Word, you're doing things that the Word says don't do, and you're not doing things that the Word says you are to do, you're in sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. And so, the Word is impeccable. It can sanctify us. It can set us apart. It can make us useful for God. Because its work is impeccable. And Psalm 33, verse 4 says, for the word of the Lord is right. For the word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. See, the Word of God is inerrant. It's infallible. And folks, when someone has a problem, don't give them your opinion. Give them the Word of God.
Amen.
Give them the Word of God. Secondly, the Word of God is inspired. The word for inspired means to be God-breathed. God gave the Word to the authors. The Word of God is inspired in its entirety. Every word. Not one jot or tittle in the Word will pass away. It lasts forever. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, a familiar passage, familiar verse. How much Scripture? All Scripture. Do you believe it? If you believe it, why don't you live it? Okay? If you believe it, we need to live it. given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We'll get back to this verse in a minute. But the issue is that we're trying to prove that the Word of God is inspired in its entirety. It's inspired in its authorship. No other book is like the Bible. 40 authors over 1,500 years write these in separate areas, and it's consistent. The only way it can be is that they're against the same standard, and that's God's inspiration. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy man of God spake as they were" what? "Moved by the Holy Ghost." God was very selective in the people He chose to write the Word down. They had to be holy. They had to follow God. They had to be moved by the Spirit. And so we see the Word of God is inspired in its authorship, and that's the first part. And it's an authorship in the law. Now I'll give you some scriptures about how God did this. He talked to Moses in Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Write thou these words. For after the tenor of these words have I made a covenant with thee and with Israel." You know, everything we do in today's world is done with contract. God made a contract with Israel. God made a contract with us. It's in the Word of God. They told Moses, "Write this down so the nation of Israel would understand it." The prophets, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1 says this, "Moreover, the Lord said unto me, Take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning..." I'm not even going to try. Okay? I'm not even going to try that. Okay? I've flunked twice, so it doesn't really matter. But we know what it is. We've gone through this. And it's basically, there's a prophecy inside the name about how Israel will stray away. And God told Isaiah to write this. Jeremiah 30, verse 2 says this, "Thus speaketh the Lord of God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." Ezekiel 24, verse 2, "Son of man, write thee the name of the day, even of this, the same day, the king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day." You know, the Word of God, history proves the Word of God. It's not the Word of God proves history. That's one of the things we saw in the museums. Time after time, time again, looked at all these ancient civilizations, you saw how the Word of God worked. All these prophecies came true. And I'm back at verse chapter 2, verse 2. "And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." So we see the Word of God is inspired in its entirety. It's inspired in its authorship. But there's more. It's also inspired in its authority. Remember Jeremiah? In Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, it said, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the" what? "The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." And God tells all these people to write these down so people in the future could read it, so people in other areas could read it, so people could understand, and they could have wisdom, and they could see the authority of God's Word, and they could see the truth of it, and they could believe it. And it would change your life. And it would change their life. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Christ tells John on the Isle of write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And then he goes on in chapter 2 and 3, and he says, to the angel of the church, what? Write. Write. God has a specific message for mankind, and it's found in God's Word. God uses people to share that. And if we don't share that, how will people hear? How will they hear without a preacher? The Word of God is inspired by His authority. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, it says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, what? Write. For these words are true and faithful, and we're reading them tonight. And they're going to come true because the source of it is true. And God, all the promises of Him are yea and amen. So, we see the Word of God is inerrant, it's infallible. We see the Word of God is inspired. And then lastly, the Word of God is instructive. The Word of God is instructive. It is the imperative or the command of the Word of God for this to happen. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now, he basically says in the previous verse, he talks about changing the desert into fruitful land and bringing down water and blessing the earth with it. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Folks, every time we come, every time we open up God's Word, it changes. It ought to make us more like Him. And you know, you could do it to your wife, you could do this. You could do it to your husband, you could do this. You can't do that to God's Word. It's going to do it. It's going to work. It's going to work. The Word of God is instructive and it's imperative. It's inclusiveness. It's inclusiveness. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all what? Things that pertain unto life and godliness. Someone comes to me for counseling. You know what we do? We pray and then we open up God's Word. And if you come to me and you ask for advice, I'm going to give you chapter and verse. Because this book works. This book works. I had a friend of mine, used to be a neighbor a long time ago. He says, I just found out what the Bible means. Basic instruction before leaving earth. There you go. Absolutely agree. That's what the Bible is. And it says here, according to His divine power, have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the what? Knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, I know you all never did this in school, and I know the present students here, they always study. When the teacher gives an assignment, they open up the book and they read it so they can be smart and can do the homework. Okay. Or they can do the classwork or whatever the case may be. You have to have knowledge in order to survive school. Folks, you have to have knowledge in order to survive the Christian life. And it's all right. Because the Word of God is instructive. It's imperative. It's inclusiveness. And then it's impact. Now we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. We already know about that. And is what? Profitable. That means it's helpful. You know, I get a lot of advice that's not helpful. Don't you? We get a lot of help that's really not helpful at all. But if you use God's Word, it's going to be helpful to you. Okay? And it's profitable for doctrine. If you don't know what you believe, how can you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? We talked about that this morning. doctrine, the fundamentals of our belief. For reproof. If you can't, if you don't know what is right, you won't know what is wrong. And therefore, you can't tell them what is right. That's what reproof is correction. And then also for correction, for what? Instruction in righteousness. How we can do good. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This tells us how to be good. All things pertain to life and what? Godliness. Why? That the man or woman of God may be perfect. That means you're not going to make any mistakes. That's not what this means. It means that you'll be complete. You won't be lacking anything. Remember we talked about the other night with the guy with blind eyes in John chapter 9. God wants to fill the things that are missing in your life. He wants to fill your need for a Savior. He wants to fill your need for instruction. He wants to fill all the things that are lacking, that He sees that are lacking in your life. He wants to fill those things. Why? That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly, which means completely furnished unto all good works. Not furnished to go out and do what you want. Not furnished to go out and do what you think is right. But furnished to go out and do what is right. And what's in accordance with God's Word. God's Word is the unchanging basis of our faith. If we don't know God's Word, we don't have faith. We'll be like the seed that the sower puts on the wayside, and the birds of the air, which represent Satan, come to snatch it up and start profiting. You just have a shallow knowledge, you won't have any root, and you'll get offended and you say, this doesn't work for me. It's got to go on good ground. Let your heart be a good ground for the Word of God. Amen. If you don't know Him as your Savior, I got great news for you. It's Jesus Christ, God Himself, loved us so much that He took on the form of a little infant in Bethlehem. And He became flesh. And He dwelt amongst the people. And He lived a perfect life. And He showed people how living the Word of God works. Oh, by the way, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And God, and Christ showed that. He healed people. He did things that only God could do. And He was crucified on the cross for our sins. For this, He took the place of Rome, which represents us. And on there He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God wants to forgive your sin. He wants you to come to Him. Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. And He laid in the grave for 3 days to prove that He was dead. And on the third day He rose again to show that He had the power to take His take away His life and pick it back up. Therefore, He has the power to forgive sins and the power to give life eternal because He sits on the right hand of God.
Amen.
And if you don't believe that, you're not going to heaven. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
So have you asked Him to save you? Have you asked Him to forgive you your sins? Have you asked Him to give you a home in heaven? If you haven't, tonight is the night. For us Christian, what are we doing with the Word of God? Is it just another book? Do we think it's just something that's nice to know? Or do we see it as something that's necessary? We need to know it. Because it's necessary in our lives. How much of God's Word impacts your life daily? That's the question. We can change that tonight and say, God, I surrender to You. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You in this time of invitation. Father, I just ask, help us, Lord, make decisions for You, Lord. And Father, we would follow You in spirit and truth. Have your Holy Spirit have full reign here tonight, Lord, and make us more like you. Don't let us leave here, Lord, without having our issues settled with you tonight by your grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.